Yeah, get your butt.
Yeah. Tears burning in the day.
Oh yeah, rock on,
right.
Brother.
Yeah, right. All right. Okay, let me just check the Skype here. We had a little bit of a sound issue with the music, but we got that fixed just before showtime, folks. So glad you're here with us with the, how should I put this? The trio of pastors, the trio of CI pastors. We're going to be talking again about the second Esdras.
Brother Abear's online. Hi there.
Okay.
And I got an announcement, folks. New show. Heads up.
Okay.
Starting next Friday, preceding this show, we are going to have a new show called The Pastor's Roundtable, a conversation with the pastors. It's going to replace the AFR midweek news.
Yeah, the
David, that's always repeating. And David James is going to be on with us, and he's going to give up that slot, that repeat slot. We're going to have a brand new show. Yeah. It's going to be a call-in show.
Right. Oh,
and
yeah.
You, the listening audience, can participate. So
yes.
How about them apples?
And we have, of course, the chat room at Eurofolk Radio. And the there's a chat room right there where you listen live. If you click listen live, you'll see, and right in the middle, there's like a balloon, a chat balloon. Click that, and it'll open up the chat room. You will have to register because we have to have troll control. And so once you're registered, you can be a participant there. We also have, is it open, the Skype chat?
The studio audience thing? I don't know. We'll have to check with Paul English on that.
Right.
And I see a smiling face up there. Hi, Greg.
Yeah.
Hello, brothers. Eli, Steve, yeah. Praise Yahweh. Good to be here.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Okay. I have a quick question for you, Pastor. How much do you hate black? I'm sorry. Oh, no, I can't. We don't want to go there. Not today.
Is that a question to me?
That's wicked.
Right. That's wicked. I'm a provocateur. Okay. There is the Eurofolk Radio Studio audience, which I think... there are 17 participants, but I think most of them are actually in Britain at the moment, so there's nobody in that room, but I'll check that every so often. But today we're going to continue. I think this is part 6 of the second Esdras as we lead into the Eagle Vision. And we had this conversation last week whether or not to skip the three-headed Eagle Vision. And with
no way to skip it, brother.
Well, with the advent of...
Brother Eli, yeah. I'd like to answer your question on the blacks.
Okay.
And here's my answer. If they were under the proper supervision and subjection of our people, I would not hate them in any way whatsoever. The problem is they have been used as a weapon against us by the seed line of Cain. And it's because they are the foot soldiers of Jewry. It's easy to...
Yeah,
look
so
at
are
them
the libtards.
Yes. Force evil. If the world was actually not upside down, I would not hate them at all. I would view them as hired help that is there to make my life easier.
Yes. Yes.
The problem is they rob us, rape us, carjack us, home invade us, murder us.
Yeah.
So
burn us, set us on fire.
I don't like them.
So understood.
So you don't hate the sinner. You just hate the sin, right?
Hey, now that's a good one.
Nobody likes a smarty pants.
That's a good one, Pastor Steve, because all of these Judeo-Christians repeat that false slogan that's not in the scriptures.
Man,
all right,
no, it's not.
Hate the sinner, love. Hate the sin.
Where did that saying come from? Probably some rabbi in Tel Aviv, coming up with another way to fool the stupid goyim.
It's not Tel Aviv. It's not Tel Aviv. It's Tel Alai.
Okay. So, all right. According to, you know, they say, love the sinner, hate the sin. So according to almost all Judeo-Christians, we racists, we white separatists, are sinners. When was the last time one of these Judeo-Christians ever showed us any love? Right?
Hmm. Yeah.
They hate us. They hate us. And Jesus told us we would be hated for his name's sake. All right. Okay. 2 Ezra chapter 2. Let me back up to verse 15, where we are being instructed to love our own families. Mother, embrace thy children and bring them up with gladness. Make their feet as fast as a pillar. For I have chosen thee, saith Yahweh, and those that be dead will I raise up again from their places. This is talking about the return of Yahshua, even before Yahshua came the first time, and bring them out of the graves. For I have known my name in Israel. Fear not, O mother of the children, for I have chosen thee, saith Yahweh. For thy help I will send my servants. Isaiah and Jeremy, after whose counsel I have sanctified and prepared for thee 12 trees laden with diverse fruits, and as many fountains flowing with milk and honey, and 7 mighty mountains whereupon there grow roses and lilies, whereby I will fill thy children with joy. So this is a great promise.
Okay, comment.
Yeah.
Diverse fruits means many fruits.
Okay.
Not diversity. Mm-hmm. You have to understand what that word is in the Hebrew. It means many.
Right. But even if that's the interpretation, this is very exclusively toward Israel. Okay.
Well, the many fruits from all the 12 tribes of Israel. That's why they used diverse.
Right. And you could say many nations because we 12 tribes have founded many nations. I mean, you start with all the European nations. And then the 50 states here in America, right? How many Canadian provinces? How many Australian provinces? Our people have founded many nations. The Jews have only one.
South Africa.
Right, South Africa. The Jews have only one, and their hold on that one is pretty slippery, I would say.
Well, okay? That's not a nation. They don't even call it a nation.
No, they don't.
They call it state.
Right.
And it is not secure.
That's right.
They have walls over there. They won't let all this immigration flow into their state.
That's right.
They've even you hear about the black Jews. Well, no, they booted them.
Mm-hmm. Sent them to Sweden.
They deny that they're Jews.
That's right. That's right. Absolutely. Okay. Pastor Greg, you want to pick it up from verse 20?
Yeah, brothers, and I want to have a couple comments here as well. We're into one of the most racial books that's ever been written. And I don't think we can even get into this book without the concept that this book was written to the elect of the white race that would be alive at the end of the age. And later in this book is marked out to be hidden from the masses and saved for the elect at the end. That's why we're doing it now.
Yeah.
It's not by accident that we're in
this
book.
Daniel. Daniel at the very end says, seal the book up. It will not be understood until the time of the end.
Well, that's why this particular book that we are looking at was not included in the Bible. Ezra wrote some books that were meant for everyone. Those books, the book he wrote, there's a book of Ezra in the Bible. This was one of the writings of Ezra not meant to be read to everyone. And he says so later in the book, and we'll get into that later on. But we are privileged to be looking at this book. 99.9% of all Judeo-Christianity has no concept this book even exists. Yet here we are tearing it down and understanding it. This is a totally racial book.
I mean, well, the Judeo-Christians don't even understand the standard, what you call the standard Bible. They don't
exactly.
even understand what it says in there because they've been massively deceived.
That's right, brother. I mean, the truth is actually there. This is the truth even more expounded. I mean, even starting in verse 15, where he says, "Mother, embrace your sons, bring them up with gladness, establish their feet, because I have chosen you." What could that verse possibly be saying? What was it? Yahweh has chosen somebody? What is this whole thing? Someone is chosen. I thought Jesus died to save all the Negroes in Africa and all the Koreans and the Chinese, right, and all the various brown peoples throughout the planet, where our white race sending their sons and daughters to be missionaries to them.
Well, they don't want to read those verses that say, "I come not but for the lost sheep of the house of Israel."
Praise Yahweh,
and they
yes,
don't
absolutely.
Want to research on who Israel really is, because they have been brainwashed through years of a barrage of false information through the Talmud vision. That vision has been the greatest weapon of the adversary on this planet. He has deceived more people through that than anything else, especially these TV preachers. Over to you.
They are the worst. And, you know, as we are daily accused of being white supremacists, the more clear I see it, the more I understand Yahweh has called out a particular group of people on the planet. And guess what? It's our race.
Well, it's Yahweh supremacists, not white supremacists, like my sermon the other night on Wake Up Call. White skin is not enough. There's a lot of white people that aren't going to make it into the kingdom. And that's what they have trouble comprehending that. If you repent and you accept the sacrifice by Yeshua Messiah, you will change your lifestyle, and automatically your spirit that indwells within you will compel you to be obedient and keep his laws. Because Yeshua Messiah himself said, and this is very unpopular, "If you love me, keep my commandments." Well, what commandments did he issue? He issued the commandments as Yahweh the Father. Because Yeshua Messiah is a manifestation on the earthly plane of Yahweh the Father. He said, "If you have seen me, you have seen the Father." We can't see all the Father because there is sin here. And if he came in totality into this plane, it would destroy everything because it's imperfect. And he is going to change that at the second advent of Yeshua Messiah. He will come in flaming fire to destroy and kill all those who do not know Elohim. And many of our brothers and sisters out there, even in the Israel race, don't know Elohim. They know a false deception and have been deceived to their doom by the adversary. He has won them over and they're gone. We have to reach the ones that are not quite gone, the fence sitters.
Right.
We got to nudge them off that fence, because that fence is going to burn too when Yeshua comes back. Over to you.
Somebody's going to turn the juice on that electric fence.
Some strong words, Brother Steve.
Yeah.
Well, I find myself in agreement.
Yeah.
You know, even verse 15, what a beautiful, amazing, emotional verse. Yahweh says, "Mother, embrace your sons, bring them up with gladness, as does the dove. Establish their feet, because I have chosen you, saith Yahweh."
All right, who's the mother? The mother is Israel.
Yes, amen.
Okay, embrace thy children, the children of Israel. Bring them up with gladness. Gladness in what? Gladness in Yahweh. Gladness in the Redeemer. Make your feet as fast as a pillar. What does that mean? Firmly establish them in the Torah of Yahweh, which is what Yeshua Messiah taught. He did not teach churchianity or altar calls. He taught Torah. He taught the feast. He taught obedience to the Torah, which problem the Judeo-Christian churches today do not teach Torah.
That's right. Let me read verse 16 and continue your thoughts. And I will raise up the dead from their places and will bring them out from their tombs because I recognize my name in them. What an amazing, great verse. What other aspect of Christianity recognizes the name of Yahweh but Christian identity? To my knowledge, no one.
For I have known my name in Israel. What does Israel mean? He who has overcome with El, the overcomers in the book of Revelation. Israel means you will rule as an El, as a divine being, because we will be changed in the last day to divine beings, and all others will be in subjection to us, who will be the administrators of the law under our master and eternal king, Yahshua Messiah. Thus saith the word.
Amen.
I got to say, according to verse 16, whenever I get into any, the older I get, the less I like to argue with people. I just don't like arguing. I don't have the energy or the patience for it. But when I get into a conversation with some Judeo-Christian that tries to convince me that he knows anything, you know what I usually ask him? I say, how long have you been a Christian? Oh, yeah, I was born again and blah, 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 30 years ago. I've been worshiping God forever. I go, all right, tell me his name. What's his name? You say you've been walking with him for 30 years.
One.
Do you know his name? God? I go, no. Lord? No. Jesus Christ? Well, that's close, but no. Mm-hmm. They just don't even know the name of Yahweh. They do not know the name. If you don't know the name of the God you're worshiping, I'm sorry, but you have a false religion. It says
What does it say in Scripture? Do you know his name or his son's name, if you know? Does it not ask that question clearly?
It's God and
what
Jesus.
What is his name or his son's name, if you know?
Right.
He says in verse 18, he goes, I will send you help, my servants Isaiah and Jeremiah, according to their counsel, which is a fascinating statement. I have consecrated and prepared for you 12 trees loaded with various fruits and the same number of springs flowing with milk and honey and 7 mighty mountains on which roses and lilies grow. By these I will fill your children with joy.
Amen. This is obviously a prophecy because they were already in the land of milk and honey, right, in these days. So just talking about a future event.
Eli, let me ask you, what do you think he's talking about here with this concept of 12 trees? Well, obviously, I think we're talking to
the 12 gates to the holy city of New Jerusalem.
Right, which really point to what? I mean,
12 tribes, the 12 tribes,
the 12 tribes of the 12 families of Israel, the 12 strains of the white race. I mean, it could be it could be no other interpretation here. The 12 tribes of Israel and the 12 gates of the New Jerusalem, each one named, and there will be angel bouncers to keep out any coloreds that try to sneak in. If
outside
any
will be the dogs.
Right.
Yeah.
Hey, I know a guy here in Chicago named Zach would be a really good bouncer.
Well, brother, he's got angels already lined up.
That's
and I don't know that. As strong as I think I am still in my 60s, I don't want to mess with the weakest angel.
Hey, it just occurred to me. Who are the 4 original bouncers? Go take it back to Genesis. When Adam and Eve were
clearly
tossed,
angels of some kind. I mean,
when Adam and Eve were tossed out of the garden. Who did Yahweh? He set up 4 bouncers, did he not? The cherubim.
A flaming sword.
Yeah, keep any
a single angel killed a few hundred thousand people with no effort whatsoever. Yeah, you don't want to mess with an angelic
being. No, not with Yahweh's angels. No.
Well, he warned him. He said, my angel will lead you. Do not provoke him, for he will have no forgiveness.
All right.
Remember that? What? That was, as in, whoa, you be bad, dude.
Yeah, right, right.
You know, I have some notes written here beginning on verse 20. And to me, this is the true Christian identity life lived out here in beginning in verse 20, where he's expounding to his brothers, guard the rights of the widow, secure justice for the fatherless, give to the needy, defend the orphan, clothe the naked, care for the injured and the weak, do not ridicule a lame man, protect the maimed, and let the blind man have a vision of my splendor. Protect the old and the young within your walls. When you find any who are dead, commit them to the grave and mark it, and I will give you the first place in my resurrection.
Okay. That sets out the prerequisites.
Can I give you a paraphrase of what I just read? Here it is. Ready?
Okay.
Guard the rights of the white widow. Secure justice for the white fatherless. Give to the white needy. Defend the white orphan. Clothe the white naked. Care for the white injured and the white weak. Do not ridicule a white lame man. Protect the maimed white, and let the white blind man have a vision of my splendor. Protect the white old and the white young within your walls. When you find any white man or woman who are dead, commit them to the grave and mark it, and I will give you first place in my resurrection. That's what this is saying here.
Wow. I mean, I don't know if there's any other instruction in Scripture that tells us to bury our people and mark the grave. I think this is
these,
it.
These verses are so pure and amazing. They're very emotional to read.
Yeah.
And it reflects the commandments given in the Torah.
Absolutely.
That's all in the Torah.
Yes.
Is there any commandment in the Torah that we should bury our dead, Pastor Steve? I don't recall reading anything like that.
I can't remember a commandment to do that, no.
Okay, but here it is right here.
It was the Hebrew way. What they did, they put them in a sepulcher.
Oh, yeah, that's right, yeah.
And then when the body was totally decomposed, they had a little box called an ossuary, and they took the bones and they put the bones in the box, and they wrote the name of the individual on the box because they only had so many of these sepulchres.
Right. And I think
they would put the little box on a shelf in the sepulcher with the name on it.
Right. And I think because the ground was so rocky.
Yeah, it was really terrible.
Trying to dig a 6-foot grave is out of the question, right?
But I'm going through Genesis again. When Sarah died, he bought the cave. Abraham bought the cave of Machpelah and put her in the cave of Machpelah, and he bought it from the Chitti. And we're going to give it to you. I'm going to pay you in silver in sight of everybody. In other words, he did that so he was not obligated to them.
Right. Well, then he also had a receipt, so they couldn't say, it belongs to us.
That is correct.
Right. Okay. But here, let
me quote. I love the fact that when
Jacob Israel died in Mitzrayim, they had a great procession. Right. And they went over and took him,
Cadillacs
and
Lincolns,
him in the cave of Machpelah, along with Sarah and other ones. And then when they took Yosef's bones with them during the migration, during the Exodus, they took Yosef's bones and put him in the cave of Machpelah.
Yeah. So these are very important rituals.
I mean, you don't have to have a ton of bricks fall on you to find out what the rulings were.
That's right. Okay, your comment, Greg, you started to say something there.
Well, brothers, just that we are into a very tender portion of Scripture here. It speaks to our people. And the message of all of these apocryphal books is that the message of salvation is very exclusive, only to a certain group of people. None of this universalism nonsense that taught out in the churches today, that anyone and everyone can come to the Messiah. That's one of the falsest messages that's ever been preached, ever. And the message is very specific to the 12 tribes of Israel, which we know historically to be the white race, the Caucasian, Northern European race.
Yes.
And the migration of the tribes up through Europe and the spreading of them throughout the world, founding the white nations today. That's why our race is being hated to this very moment. And we see the yes. war against our people. It has opened up a new level here in the last few months. We are hated on this earth. And as we get into this book, it will just continually make it clear that we are the children of Yahweh. And he says here, these verses are so tender. He goes, pause and be quiet, verse 24, pause and be quiet, my people, because your rest will come. Good nurse, nourish your sons, strengthen their feet. Not one of the servants whom I have given you will perish, for I will require them from among your number. Do not be anxious, for when the day of tribulation and anguish comes, others shall weep and be sorrowful, but you shall rejoice and have abundance. The nations shall envy you, but they shall not be able to do anything against you, saith Yahweh. My hands will cover you, that your sons may not see Gehenna. Rejoice, O mother, with your sons, because I will deliver you, saith Yahweh. Remember your sons that sleep, because I will bring them out of the hiding places of the earth, and will show mercy to them, for I am merciful, saith the Lord Almighty. These verses are just perfect for our current moment.
That's a comment. Our Father of loving kindness.
Rest with us. Okay? Mm-hmm. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 7. Now, I'm not going to read the whole thing about the flaming fire. This is the one I read all the time. And to give you who are afflicted, that is Israel, rest with us when the Master Yahshua is revealed from the heavens with his mighty messengers. Rest with us, the saints. So, mm-hmm. See the correlation there?
Yes. I would like to stress the correlation to verses 20 through about 24 with Isaiah. And this is the Isaiah scroll from which Yahshua preached at the synagogue in Capernaum when he started his public ministry. Okay? And it says this, Isaiah 61:1, the Spirit of Yahweh Elohim is upon me, because Yahweh hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prisons to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of Yahweh. This is what we Ooh. Need to be proclaiming, folks. The acceptable year of Yahweh, that is when he comes again. And, oh boy, listen, and the day of vengeance of our El to comfort all that mourn. Whoa. Okay. These are the verses that he quoted when he began his ministry. The day of vengeance, folks. But Jesus loves everybody.
Yeah, bring them before me and slay them.
All right, Greg, back to you.
That's love.
Yeah, right. Tough love. All right, Greg, you there?
I'm here.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Please pick up from there, and then we'll continue with Steve.
Well, this is just such a perfect message for us. He continues, he goes, "Do not be anxious, for when the day of tribulation and anguish comes," and clearly we're in those times now,
"yes,
others shall weep and be sorrowful, but you shall rejoice and have abundance. The nations shall envy you, but they shall not be able to do anything against you, saith Yahweh. My hands will cover you that your sons may not see Gehenna. Rejoice, O mother, with your sons, because I will deliver you, saith Yahweh. Remember your sons that sleep, because I will bring them out of the hiding places of the earth and will show mercy to them, for I am merciful, saith the Lord Almighty. Embrace your children until I come and proclaim mercy to them, because my springs run over and my grace will not fail." This is his message to the elect for these coming turbulent times, that we are to trust in him. His mercy will be just shown to the elect. Even at some of us that die, he's encouraging the mothers that he will bring us out of the hidden places of the earth where we go. These verses are incredibly tender and loving. Ezra continues. He goes, "I, Ezra, received a command from Yahweh on Mount Horeb to go to Israel. When I came to them, they rejected me and refused the Lord's commandment." That's our people to a T, is it
right.
not?
Yeah.
Yep.
That's the majority of our people. They hear the word of Yahweh and they're like, "I'm not having that. You kidding me? I'm not going that way." You know? "Therefore I say to you, O nations that hear and understand, await your shepherd. He will give you everlasting rest, because he who will come at the end of the age is close at hand." Keep in mind now, this was written somewhere around 400 to 500 BC, this book.
Mm-hmm.
So we're talking about a book here approximately 2,500 years ago, and actually written to us that are alive at the end of the age. That's what makes this book so amazing. It was written then, but it's for us now. That's why it's a perfect book for us to be in.
Yes.
That's why it was left out of the Bible. It was not meant for everyone. It was meant for the elect who will be alive at the end of the age. That's why it's speaking so clearly to us.
Yep.
I love
this
book.
Did Job also say, "I, at the end, I will see my Redeemer in the flesh"?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
All right.
Okay. Very good. All right, Steve, you want to pick it up from there?
I have a comment on verse 34. Okay. "And therefore I say to you, O ye heathen that hear and understand," you nations is what they're talking about.
That's right, yeah.
They put heathen in there. That's incorrect in this translation on the screen. "That hear and understand, look for your shepherd," that's Yeshua, "and he shall give you everlasting rest, for he is near at hand, that shall come into the world." All right. I'm looking.
Well, didn't Yahshua say that there only certain people would understand and would only be Israelites?
Yeah.
Okay.
Here we go. Verse 27, pardon me, I quoted the wrong verse. Okay. "Be not weary, for when the day of trouble and heaviness comes, others shall weep and be sorrowful, but you shall be merry and have abundance." Now, what do we see in Christian identity today? Yeah, we recognize the problems, but we are girding our loins for war, and we are in joy in our Redeemer and in Yahweh, and we call upon his name. And who's crying and whining more than anybody else? It's the people that don't know Yahweh.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Right.
Okay, where'd we leave off here? Be ready. There, he that understood give you reverence. Okay. What was that? 35?
Yeah, we're at verse 35.
Okay, this is what it says on the screen. "Be ready to the reward of the kingdom." Pause right there. The kingdom.
Right. Kingdom not theology.
The earth, not the church of what's happening now, the kingdom. And the ultimate white nation, you white nationalists out there that are listening, is the kingdom of Yahweh, because there's not going to be anybody else in charge except white folks. But to get into that kingdom, you must know Yahweh, because if you Amen. Do not, you will be numbered among the goats, and you won't see the all-white kingdom.
Yes.
Okay. Be ready to the reward of the kingdom, for the everlasting light shall shine upon you forevermore. Who is that? That is Yeshua Messiah, is it not?
Amen.
36. Flee the shadow of this world, the one under the prince and power of the air. Receive the joyfulness of your glory. I testify my Savior openly. Oh, my. And this was how long before Yeshua Messiah?
Yeah, Pastor Steve. Years approximately.
Pastor All Steve, right. You're an Islamophobe.
Yeah, well, I'm not scared of anybody. Bring it on. Oh, verse 37. Oh, receive the gift that is given you, and be glad, giving thanks unto him that has led you to the heavenly kingdom. What was the gift? It was redemption through Yeshua Messiah. That's the gift. Verse 38. Arise up and stand. Behold the number of those that be sealed in the feast of Yahweh. What's the feast of Yahweh? The feast of tabernacles. Ooh. When Yeshua will return. Mm,
there you go.
These verses are incredibly rich.
Oh, man.
These verses are just the meat of the word here. I've got a lot of cross references that I actually want us to take a look at. Verse 30.
You want me to stop right here? Go ahead and take it.
Yeah, verse 35 says, be ready for the rewards of the kingdom, because the eternal light will shine upon you. And I've got a reference here of Matthew 13, verse 43. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. This is when we will truly understand and reflect the glory of our Father through Yahshua Christ. That eternal light will be shining upon us. We will reflect it. And he continues, flee from the shadow of this age, receive the joy of your glory. I publicly call on my Savior to witness. As Steve said, this was 500 years before Christ came to the earth. And look at how prophetic these verses are. Receive what Yahweh has entrusted to you, and be joyful, giving thanks to him who has called you to heavenly kingdoms. If you brothers have a couple, you have a Bible in front of you, I'm going to assume both of you do.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Steve, if you could look up Revelation chapter 7, 1 through 3. And Eli, if you could look up Revelation chapter 19, verse 7.
Okay.
When I went through this, these verses were leaping out to me, and I just made a lot of
Revelation
notes.
Revelation 7. And after this, I saw four messengers standing at the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. Verse 2. And I saw another messenger coming up from the rising of the sun, holding the seal of the living Elohim. And he cried with a loud voice to the four messengers to whom it was given to harm the earth and the sea. And he wanted me to go how far?
Verse
3, through
1
okay.
through 3.
Okay. Saying, do not harm the earth, nor the sea, nor the trees, until we have sealed the servants of our Elohim upon their foreheads. Now that is given, Ezekiel, in his vision, he saw people and the one messenger had an iron pen with ink, and he wrote the mark of Elohim upon the heads, the forehead of the righteous. That goes all the way back to that.
Very good. Eli, do you have Revelation 19, verse 7?
Yeah, Let me read verse 8 in addition, because it really seals the deal. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. Now listen, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints.
Amen.
So not belief.
Now here in verse 39, he continues, those who have departed from the shadow of this age have received glorious garments from Yahweh. Now, here, Eli, if you could look up Revelation chapter 7, verse 14. And Steve, if you could read Revelation chapter 7, verse 9. And Eli, I'm going to if you could also reread the Revelation 19, verse 8, what you just read. Okay. It kind of brings this whole thing into an understanding for us.
All right, yes. 7, 9 in Revelations. After this, I looked and saw a great crowd which no one was able to count, out of all nations and tribes and peoples and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, dressed in white robes and palm branches in their hands. Nations, those are all Israel nations.
That's right, absolutely.
All of the tribes of Israel. All of the peoples and tongues, which means wherever we have settled, we speak English. The Boers speak a different language. The Germans speak a different language.
The white race scattered around the world.
That is
all
correct.
Israel.
Those in dispersion.
Let me read verse 40. Take again your full number, O Zion. Conclude the list of your people who are clothed in white, who have fulfilled the law of Yahweh. This is the most racially exclusive book. No wonder this book was left out of the Bible. It was so racist, it had to be. This book is just, this is the primer of Christian identity right here, folks. You're not sure about Christian identity, this book will make you sure. I'm guessing most of the people that listen to this program are pretty sure that Christian identity is the true faith. Only that the white race are the called out elect of Yahweh. We can debate the other races over a good glass of wine, and I'm all into that. Whatever their fate may be.
I'm ahead of you, bro.
I know. But I know this. The only people that are destined for the New Jerusalem and eternal life are the 12 tribes of Israel, and that's the white race in its various forms, its various nations, its various languages. As is being discussed here, the various ones who will be clothed in white linens, the New Jerusalem is going to be the ultimate
Which
white enclave. I personally cannot wait to be there.
And
I go crazy when I see colored people around me. I don't even want to see them. I just want to be surrounded by my own divine kind.
Yeah.
Amen.
And Yeshua said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Take thy number, O Zion, and shut up those that are your clothes and white, which have fulfilled the law of Yahweh through Yeshua Messiah, to repent and come under a new covenant where the law is written on your hearts. And he will cover over your sins with that final blood sacrifice. So we don't need bulls and goats and rams.
You know, brothers, I believe verse 40 and 41, 42, these are some of the deepest verses that I personally have ever come across in my life. Let me read through them, and I want to give you my take on them. Verse 40, take again your full number, O Zion. Conclude the list of your people who are clothed in white, who have fulfilled the law of Yahweh. The number of your children whom you desired is full. Beseech the Lord's power that your people who have been called from the beginning may be made holy. I, Ezra, saw on Mount Zion a great multitude which I could not number, and they were all praising Yahweh with songs. This is the answer to me why the end of the age has not come yet, because the list has not yet been fulfilled. It is being fulfilled the final ones of our people are being called out, are being tested. Ezra, in verse 42, he could only be referencing the vision in Revelation chapter 14, verses 1 through 5, and we're going to go there next. Ezra was shown this incredible vision that John saw. Can we go to that, Eli or
yeah,
Steve, Revelation 14?
I'm already there.
So Ezra says, I, Ezra, saw on Mount Zion a great multitude, which I could not number, and they were all praising Yahweh with songs. Could one of you guys read Revelation 14, verses 1 through 5?
And I looked and saw a lamb standing on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his father's name written upon their foreheads. You want me to go how far?
Verse 1 through 5, please.
Okay. And I heard a voice out of the heaven like the voice of many waters, and like the voice of loud thunder. And I heard the sound of harpists playing the harps. And they sang a renewed song before the throne and before the four living creatures and the elders. And no one was able to learn that song except the 144,000 who were redeemed from the earth. They are those who were not defiled with woman, for they are maidens.
And
this is
defiled
used
with,
in a figurative
yeah,
sense.
Defiled with false doctrine, you know, like Catholicism
right.
and Judeo-Christianity.
Correct.
Yes.
Those who were following the Lamb wherever he leads them on, they were redeemed from among men, being first fruits to Elohim and to the land. And in their mouth was found no falsehood, for they are blameless before the throne of Elohim. Over to you.
No, brothers, keep in mind now, Ezra is being shown the same vision approximately 550 to 600 years before John wrote the book of Revelation. And yet he is being shown the same thing, and we're seeing it from a different angle. And it's fascinating, and it absolutely shows us the book of 2nd Ezra is clearly inspired writing. Listen to Ezra as he continues to describe that same vision. He goes, in their midst was a young man of great stature, taller than any of the others, and on the head of each of them he placed a crown, but he was more exalted than they, and I was held spellbound. Then I asked an angel, who are these, my Lord? He answered and said to me, these are they who have put off mortal clothing and have put on the immortal, and they have confessed the name of God. Praise Yahweh. And they are being crowned and receive palms. Then I said to the angel, who is that young man who places crowns on them and puts palms in their hands? He answered and said to me, he is the son of Yahweh, whom they confessed in the world. So I began to praise those who had stood valiantly for the name of the Lord. Then the angel said to me, go tell my people how great and many are the wonders of Yahweh whom you have seen. Is there any doubt that Ezra is seeing the same vision that the ones in Revelation 14 are talking about?
Yeah.
It could be nothing else. This alone, to me, stamps the book of 2nd Ezra as absolute inspired scripture. The rest of the book more than does as well. I have zero doubt. But Ezra is being shown amazing visions of prophecy. 600 years before John even wrote Revelation, Ezra saw the same vision that John recorded in Revelation 14. Ezra was the man.
Let me read 19:8 again from Revelation. And to her, that is the bride, and the bride can only consist of Israel, and to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. So here the Bible explains itself. No guesswork here. What's the fine linen? It's righteousness, folks. And
That's
he
right.
saith unto me, write Blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, these are the true sayings of El. And I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me, see thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Because this is an angel speaking to John. Worship Elohim, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy.
Amen, brothers. Brother, I have two quick comments to make. Number one, I am convinced that the fine linen, the divine garment, this is my personal interpretation, and I think he'll probably go along with it. What else could it be but the true unveiling of the divine nature of our white skin? Our white skin, to me, is the uniform of the divine birth, the born from above, referenced in John chapter 3. Unless a man is born from above,
right,
he cannot see the kingdom of heaven. Being born into white skin, and this is, of course, why we're condemned as being racist and white supremacists and all the labels, and why they hate us because we have a white skin. The white skin is a sign of the divine nature. That's why the world hates us.
The world hates
you if you're white.
Which skin reflects
because
the most light?
They hate anything of the divine nature,
right?
Because they do not have it.
Yeah, right. Yeah, and and I get this question all the time from people who, you know, for some reason, our people have a tremendous desire to save non-Israelites. You know, well, what about the non-Israelites? What about the, you know, what about these people? What about the Bible's not concerned?
I got over that years ago. You know, if I could push a button and send them all straight to the fires, I'd do it.
Yeah,
you know.
The Bible says repeatedly what, and Jesus said to the Canaanite woman, what is meant for the children of the kingdom, I cannot give you. I simply cannot give it to you. However, if you do not, as is recorded in Zechariah chapter 14, yep, if the people of the other races do not antagonize us or hurt us or call us names or do any harm to us, then they might enter the kingdom too, but only those who have not done us any harm.
Right. And Enoch got into that in detail, that those that did not know who we were and did us no harm will be spared at the judgment. Those who knew where we were and did us harm will be destroyed.
Right.
That's the difference between redemption and salvation, which I have covered extensively.
Yes. Right.
They will not enter New Jerusalem.
Right. But then, they still want to say
Israel.
And
they'll be allowed to live out the rest of their natural life.
Right.
It might even be prolonged, but there's no eternal life. There's no ruling in the kingdom for them. They just are allowed to live out a natural life.
They will be hewers of wood and drawers of water in subjection.
Right. And they will have
Israel.
A better life.
These exterminationists,
right?
we're gonna kill them all. Well, no, we're not. That's not what Scripture says.
Right. And I know Professor Truth is listening, and this is directed to him. There is no evidence to suggest that they will get eternal life as we do, because as Jesus clearly
said,
I cannot give to you what is promised to the children of the kingdom. I simply cannot do that. All right? So, but nevertheless, they will have a better life. And Yahweh bless our people who have compassion. All right?
All right.
But don't misplace that compassion.
Deep down, I have compassion. I'm just kind of jaded because of what all the colored
you
have done
sure
in the last
are.
10 or,
well,
brother, I can't help it, man.
I know,
get jaded. I'm jaded.
I feel
but
your
I realize
pain.
Yahweh didn't put the button in front of me to exterminate anybody, so I will do what I'm told in the moment.
All right,
I've got a red button.
They will have a better life, and
yes.
Why is that? Because Yahweh is going to heal.
Yes,
the earth. All this pollution and poison and destruction and perversion is going to end. He is going to set everything right. Anybody living on this planet will not have to breathe polluted air, drink polluted water.
Yeah, watered down wine.
No genetically modified food. Everything will be purified.
Mm-hmm. Steve, will we still have to get vaccines, or can we do without vaccines?
Can you imagine how much better the life of those that will be our servants will be? And we will not be unrighteous. If they are under our judgments, it will be a righteous judgment.
Well, the Negroes will finally be happy.
Yeah.
They'll be happy.
No, that's not possible, Greg. They got to blame Whitey forever.
They'll finally be happy, those Negroes.
There will be no more mongrels.
That's right.
They will breed true, and they will be black again.
And that's not cruel of us to say that, because the scriptures say that. He detests
they were created for
mongrelization.
That. They'll be happy.
They will be in their place. Oh, right. My! The place, you southern devil, you!
Light my fire! Light my fire, Pastor Steve.
They need to be in their place. There's a place for them.
There is. Deep down, they need a white master. They tar and feather.
And it's not
going to
be chattel slavery
now, but deep down, that's how it is.
And it's not going to be chattel slavery.
Organizational disaster. Anything they touch or administrate is a mess.
Right.
I'm sorry.
And you guys know how I've been teaching against chattel slavery in the South before and up to the Civil War.
We don't need the race mixing.
Exactly. But the fact is, the vast majority of those blacks living on those plantations had a far better life than blacks back in Africa, who were still lion meat and killing each other in tribal warfare. Even in America, the blacks had a much better life living among us under our dominion, even though it was chattel slavery, and we don't do that. Okay? So just imagine how much better it's going to be for them in the kingdom. Okay? What more can I say? You know, the Father says we all have a place in His universe, but wrongdoers, what's the slogan on the back of our business card, Pastor Steve? 1 John 3:8, He came to destroy the works of the devil. Okay? Mm-hmm. He came to destroy the works of the devil, and race mixing is one of those works of the devil. And who's pushing this more than anybody else but the Jews and the communist slaves? Anybody who believes in communism is simply a slave of the Jew bankers.
Who are the Jews? That's the main question. Mm-hmm. They are the descendants. Through various bloodlines, they're all tainted with the seed of the Nakash.
Yes.
And that is why they shoot themselves in the foot all the time. They're setting this great war up right now with this deception and this false flag down there at that so-called rally. More and more information is coming out. They are exposed. There's too many people that are saying, the Goyim know.
The Goyim know, that's right.
Okay. They have set up an upcoming pogrom against themselves. It's coming, and it's not just going to be in one nation. It's going to be worldwide. There is no place for them to hide because people are becoming Jew savvy.
That's right.
Even those that won't admit it.
That's right.
They won't.
They won't say it publicly.
Well, I don't have anything to say about the Jews. Well, they know they're just afraid to step up.
Yeah, yeah.
We are not afraid to step up.
Right. White people are being awakened quickly in these last days, as it should be. And I can only repeat from that verse, declare the acceptable year of Yahweh. We need to start doing this. And
the knowledge is snowballing.
Mm-hmm.
And they are so desperate, and they're shutting down websites left and right, and they're doing all this stuff, but they're fighting against our Father Yahweh, and we are His chosen people, not them, and we shall prevail because Yahweh said so.
And on that great note, we can end today's show. Thanks for listening. Praise Yahweh, Pass the Ammunition.
Praise Yahweh, brothers and sisters.
Shalom, Aleichem.
Bye-bye.